Well, it's a real privilege to follow Ian. I'm a little embarrassed too, because Ian just talked about how wonderful Massachusetts health reform is, and as a Massachusetts resident and someone who works very closely in health reform, to come up and talk a little about some of the challenges is a little bit different to talk about. But I will say that Massachusetts health reform has been hugely successful, as Ian pointed out. But we still do have some challenges. For what I was interested in understanding, why we have this 2.7% uninsured, particularly low-income people. Why are they uninsured? Why hasn't the system worked for those people? Even though it's a small amount, we haven't gotten to zero yet. So I don't have any financial disclosures. This work, as was mentioned, is part of my PhD in public policy at UMass Boston. I did receive a UMass Boston doctoral dissertation grant for this. I'd like to thank my dissertation committee, Donna Haig-Friedman and Aaron O'Brien from UMass Boston, and Nancy Turnbull from Harvard School of Public Health, as well as my colleagues at UMass Medical School. So as Ian highlighted, you know, in April 2006, we passed Chapter 58, which was the Massachusetts health reform law, and we expanded Medicaid benefits. We created the subsidized insurance program, Commonwealth Care. We required employers not offering health insurance to pay a fair share contribution. We established the individual mandate, and we created the insurance market reforms, including the state exchange, the connector. And as Ian pointed out, we've done a great job. We're down to 2.7% uninsured. And as Ian also mentioned, a lot of the concepts in Massachusetts have been applied to what has been passed nationally. Yet despite the goal of universal health coverage, about 170,000 Massachusetts residents remain uninsured. And although it has benefited those below 300% of the federal poverty level, if you look at the numbers, those earning less than 150% of FPL have a 4.3% uninsured rate, and those between 150 and 300% FPL have a 5% uninsured rate. So that is much higher, still low, but higher than the 2.7% statewide average. Yet those below 300% of the federal poverty level are available for subsidized programs. So my curiosity was why haven't they taken advantage of these programs? So my research question was to understand the perceptions, beliefs, and decisions of individuals ages 18 to 65 in Massachusetts earning less than 300% of the federal poverty level that causes them to be uninsured even after we've had comprehensive health reform efforts. I wanted to understand the perceived and actual consequences of being uninsured post-health reform. What are their perceptions about Massachusetts health reform and helping them or hurting them obtain health insurance? And what could the state continue to do to increase the supports and continue to lower that uninsured number for those low-income population? So some of the background literature, and we all are pretty aware of kind of the IOM literature that talks about those who don't have health insurance receive less healthcare services, receive poor quality services, are more likely to be sick or sicker when diagnosed, more likely to die sooner. So there's a big consequences of not having insurance. You know, that's our big goal with both Massachusetts health reform and national health reform. And as Ian pointed out, the upside of Massachusetts health reform is we've got about 395,000 people who are now insured who previously were not. And support for Massachusetts health reform is still strong, although it has slipped of late in the last survey. I would argue that some of that slippage is less to do with Massachusetts health reform and some of the larger national health reform press coverage that is maybe shadowing some of people's opinions about Massachusetts health reform. But there is still issues for concern. Many people still struggle with the financial burden of buying insurance in Massachusetts, particularly people who are not getting subsidized coverage. Many claim that health reform is too confusing and too complex. And according to the statewide survey data, the most common reasons cited for being uninsured are high costs, loss or change in employment, or employer doesn't offer health insurance coverage, and almost half are unaware of public programs to support them. Those last two are based on the statewide uninsured survey that we do that comes up with a 2.7% number. So my research objective was to understand the perceptions and attitudes of low-income adults who are uninsured or recently insured that determine their decisions about enrolling in or purchasing health insurance. I did qualitative interviews of people earning below 300% FPL, ages 18 to 64, who were legal residents and thus eligible for some level of support. I did two sample groups, people who were either uninsured when at the time of my interview or who are recently insured in the last 6 months after having a significant time of being uninsured. I used a number of recruitment methods to find my individuals. I used a lot of community-based organizations like community development corporations and community health centers. As my population with that was starting to skew a little older, I used Craigslist to try to get young adults. Did snowball sampling and word of mouth. So it was a purposeful sample. I tried to get more likely male, appropriately represent minorities, and I split my interviews between Greater Boston, the suburbs, and Western Massachusetts. I did 52 interviews. I included 50 in my analysis. You can see the mix between male and female, the different age, gender. I did 33 white, 17 other, including 3 I did in Spanish with an interpreter, 20 were in Greater Boston, 17 in the suburbs, and 13 in Western Mass. 30 were uninsured at the time of my interview. 20 had recently obtained health insurance after being uninsured. All the interviews were audio recorded and transcribed. I used Atlas TI to code the data and sort and review the data to analyze themes and trends. Obviously, there's study limitations. The interviewees self-selected to participate, so the findings are not statistically generalizable to the entire low-income, uninsured, or recently insured adult population. So let's get on to some of the findings. So why are people uninsured in Massachusetts? To my surprise, there was no shortage of unique ways that people could be uninsured. Changes in life status. People ended up being divorced or aged out of their parents' insurance. People had employment changes. They lost their jobs. Their employer didn't offer insurance. I talked to some people who were working per diem or who were working as consultants. Or their employer offered insurance, but it didn't meet minimal credible coverage. In Massachusetts, they've set a standard that insurance must meet minimal credible coverage, and there's guidelines around deductibles and annual out-of-pocket expenses. And I talked to some people who work particularly at large mall retailers and places like that that offered insurance but didn't meet the minimal credible coverage, meaning if they took the insurance, they'd be insured, but as far as the state was concerned for their tax penalty, they would be penalized. Some people made the personal choice. They didn't want to pay premiums or even highly subsidized premiums. And what is most disconcerting was the difficulty in navigating the system. They may be unaware that they may be eligible for subsidized programs. They didn't know how to sign up. The inability to complete an application and the paperwork associated that with, like getting your birth certificate if you were born out of state. Drop between programs, particularly the medical security plan, which is the uninsurance tied to collecting your unemployment benefits, is run separately than the Mass Health and Commonwealth Care programs that Ian talked about that had a single application. Or they were dropped during the redetermined process. So there's no shortage of, and sometimes I even scratch my head at some of the unique situations people fell into for those cracks of why they were uninsured. The impact on seeking care, obviously, people don't seek care if they don't think they need it. They tend to be single, male, or younger. But there was also a bunch of people I interviewed who didn't seek care, but probably needed care. But their costs outweigh the perceived benefits, including people who, in this one case, the example where my PA level is high and the physician wanted to biopsy. I can't pay for it. It is expensive. My father died of prostate cancer. My brother's had the operation, and I'm at the age where his biopsy was touch and go. So this person had the, potentially may have cancer and needed a biopsy but didn't want to pay the cost, so went without. Others seek care, though, because their perceived needs outweigh their costs. It tended to be women or parents for their children. They don't worry about the bills. They're just going to go get their kids to seek care. They navigate the free care system, although they're still seeing less care. A lot of the same trends you would see in the IOM reports. The impact on finances for those people who are uninsured. Emergencies are particularly costly. People pick up the phone and dial 911 and call for an ambulance can be hit with a large bill. Hospital and physician bills accumulate with little means to pay them. One person stated, I have them all piled up. They all deserve to get paid. They helped me when I was in an immense amount of pain, but right now you have to deal with rent, transportation, and food. And I have kind of the hierarchical needs, paying hospital bills or paying for health insurance fall later. Some folks have worked out payment arrangements with providers. Other people have received assistance from their family members. And some folks, because of their transient lifestyle, being low income and moving from house to friends or becoming a roommate with a neighbor or someone else, that the bills don't follow them. So the healthcare organizations, because they're moving, they don't have a steady mailing address, sometimes they kind of move ahead of the financial bills that follow them. The impact on health, again, straight out of IOM. It's a minimal impact for those who consider themselves healthy, but many have needed gaps in care, both with postponement of needed and preventative care. And there's a huge oral health need that's out there. And it's because it's not provided by ER visits, and many of our subsidized programs, including Commonwealth Care, above 100% of the federal poverty level, don't provide dental benefits. And people have general anxiety about being uninsured. It's stressful, it worries me, it reflects on my mind always. So thoughts about being uninsured. Obviously, there's a personal impact on people's access to healthcare, their personal finances, and their personal health. But also interesting was just general embarrassment about being uninsured, because people in Massachusetts, because we have such a low uninsured rate, assume everyone has health insurance. You know, one person stated it's embarrassing. When you say you're uninsured, they say, what do you mean? Everyone assumes that I live in Massachusetts. I must have health insurance. And I talked to a couple people who work per diem as medical interpreters in the healthcare system. And, you know, they're uninsured, but they're embarrassed. They don't want to mention that because they work in a hospital that they actually were uninsured. It's scary, was mentioned numerous times. And there's some general anger, and anger not necessarily at health reform or Massachusetts health reform, but anger that it hasn't worked out for them. Anger that they haven't been able to navigate the system and find subsidized coverage. And this one statement, I think, hits the point really well. I got so disgusted. I worked all my life, pay my taxes, and the one time you need help, you get denied. And so what happened? What was the impetus for those who were uninsured but obtained health insurance? The biggest reason why people who are uninsured become insured is interaction with the healthcare system. They either had an emergency room visit or other healthcare visit. Ian highlighted some of the virtual gateway and the reasons why providers have an incentive to sign people up. They also either obtained employment with health coverage or they went to school. Massachusetts has had a student insurance mandate since the late 80s. So if you're a full-time student in Massachusetts, you're required to have health insurance. And they all received some sort of assistance with the application through healthcare providers, community-based agencies. Talked to one person who moved into a new shelter, and that homeless shelter helped them with their application, or with family and friends. It really highlights the importance of people assisting someone with their application process. Asking people about what they can afford, few have thought about it. How much can you afford for health insurance? What would be okay? They say, it's too expensive, I can't afford it. Well, how much can you afford? $20, $40 a month, $100 a month? People have not really thought about it. They just perceive that it's too expensive. And their perceived affordability is very low. As little as $40 a month may be too high for some people and would prefer to be uninsured. And people did mention to me being able to report amounts that were well within the costs of subsidized coverage. Many postpone enrolling and even subsidized health coverage. Right now, I don't want to pay that $40 a month for Commonwealth Care, someone told me. Another person said, my insurance will be at least $25 or more a week. That extra $100 a month could be feast or famine. So low-income people have a low affordability level. I mean, small dollars can mean a big difference for them in their personal finances when they're talking about rent, food, and other costs. Awareness of Massachusetts health reform. Most people are aware of the negative aspects, like the individual mandate, but few understand how it's implemented and enforced. People are less aware of the positive impacts, like the new subsidized insurance coverage and the expansion. So something to consider for national health reform. People will pick up quicker on the things like the mandates, but not be able to discuss those additional subsidies and programs we've made available to them. People's thoughts about the individual mandate. Most people are against the mandate, not surprisingly, although some understand the reason behind it, but there was a very strong, strong dislike for financially penalizing people who are uninsured. Despite that, as Ian mentioned, those earning below 150% of the federal poverty level are not impacted. And so the impact on the mandate, the tax penalty, few pay it who are low income. We don't implement it below 150% FBL. I talked to people who haven't filed state income taxes in a while, which is interesting. One person claimed a religious exemption, which you can in Massachusetts, or they don't know if they paid it. People have friends and family who do their taxes for them. People go to H&R Block and have them do their taxes for them. So you know, quote here is, I have somebody else do my taxes. I may have paid it. I don't know. Most want health insurance regardless of the mandate. They want the health care. They want the financial security. You know, we put a mandate out there, but people want health insurance. It's not the mandate that's pushing them, it's the financial security. And the burden, the reason they don't is because they don't know how to navigate the system or the perceived costs are too high. I did ask people about national health reform, and in all my interviews, again, were done between April and September of this past summer. So this is post-national health reform passing. Nobody knew anything about the specific details about it. Although if people had an opinion about national health reform, politically charged. They either liked it or they didn't like it. They couldn't tell you the reason why, but they had strong opinions about it one way or the other. So how, one of the questions I ask people is, how can Massachusetts do a better job marketing or getting that information out available to them? How could they receive information? How do they communicate it? And traditional advertising was mentioned frequently, like television, radio, mailings, things like that. But other creative suggestions were pamphlets and posters at healthcare facilities, which is done. Supermarkets, interestingly enough, was mentioned. And what's interesting is that during the launch, the Connector Authority did do some partnerships with supermarkets at the time of the launch. Churches or other religious groups, religious places, social media was mentioned. Physical offices, that's one thing we don't have in Massachusetts. People talk about like the registry of motor vehicles or the DMV. You know, you go there to get your driver's license. You may not want to go there, but you know where to go. We don't have physical places per se. You know, we're supporting healthcare providers, hospitals, and community-based agencies as the physical places to go, but we haven't communicated that well. Employers on your tax forms, and again, the state has done some of this stuff as well, but people kind of reinforce those messages. But for those that obtained insurance, so despite all these things that were mentioned, for those who obtained insurance, my sample of those who obtained insurance after being uninsured, it was interactions with the healthcare system and community-based organizations and supports that move them. So despite all the talk about doing traditional marketing, it was those kind of community-based supports, someone who could help them with their application, that moved them to becoming enrolled. So becoming insured in state programs can be challenging. You know, you have to determine if you're eligible and how to enroll, you know. And so one of the quotes here is, "I hear on the news that I may be eligible, but it wasn't clear what steps for you to take. When I finally got on the internet to mass.gov, I could not find the info." So where do you go about getting the application? How do you know where to go to find that? So people are confused about that. Compiling the paperwork and completing the application. You know, there's paperwork you need. If you were born outside of Massachusetts, you need your birth certificate. If you're born in Massachusetts, they can find that for you. But if you're low income and you're born in another state, you've got to go out and request that if you don't have that. One person stated, "Being in a situation I was in, I had to mail away for my birth certificate. I had to reapply for my Social Security card because my wallet was stolen some time back. It is a pain, and I know many people have said the same thing. I'm not doing all this because it is quite a process." So the application, it takes some work. And then interacting with the state system. Did they receive my application? Someone said, "I spent $14 out of pocket to mail my information." I guess they must have FedExed it. And during a snowstorm, and they're telling me they don't have it. The next time I called, they told me there was a problem with my information. That didn't fill out the employment. So are we as customer friendly or customer service oriented, the state program, as we could be? And then retaining insurance once you get it and the redetermination process. One person said, "I received a certification from the state telling me that I no longer have insurance because I passed the income limit. I'm a medical interpreter at the hospital. I work per diem, but some weeks I only make 2 hours." So this person was redetermined during a period of time where they worked a lot of hours, but when I had interviewed them, he had only been working 2 to 4 hours for the last 4 to 5 weeks. So he would then need to reapply for the process. So it can be a little bit of a challenging. So implications for national health reform. Health reform efforts kind of fall into, I call it the carrot and stick approach. The carrot, we expand subsidized public health insurance options. The stick is we create mandates, individual mandates or employer mandates. And that works to get a lot of people enrolled. But unless we provide a clear and simple path to getting insurance, those can be for naught. We need to build on a lot of the things we've already done in Massachusetts. You know, we had some great outreach campaigns that Ian mentioned, but we need to continue to do those even post-health reform because people become uninsured during the times they may have not been paying attention. So we need to continue to market that. We need to have a streamlined application process, which we do for the ComCare and the Medicaid populations, but we run a totally different healthcare program for those who collect unemployment. And that, and the ComCare and Medicaid are always the insurers of last resort. So you could be paying ComCare premiums, have a low-paying job, you get laid off, you start collecting unemployments, but now you get booted off Commonwealth Care because you have to be on the medical security plan, which is a different application. The day you lose your unemployment benefits, whether they run out or whether you get a job again, then you drop immediately your medical security plan and you have to reapply back on the Commonwealth Care program if your job doesn't offer health insurance benefits. And I talked to people who went through that cycle. And so we have to provide this kind of simple path. And we also have to make sure the system functions. One of the things I've been coding, which is not in this presentation, is about the number of people who had difficulties with the system, whether it was long wait times when they called, whether it was applications that were lost, or difficulty filling out the paperwork. So we can provide the carrot and the stick, but we also have to give people the path to get the insurance. And anything we can do to simplify it, anything we can do to continue to market it and let people enroll is really going to help people get onto the programs. Because people want insurance. The mandate is a nice stick, and it may push some, but most people want the health insurance for their security, personal security. So my next steps, I'm going to continue the data analysis. I'm doing a deeper dive into some of the social determinants of decision making. Write my dissertation, hopefully graduate with my PhD one of these days. So that's all I have. Thank you.